Following our responsive reading on God of the Nations, our colleague and friend, Mr. Yoshizu, will lead the morning prayer in his native tongue, Japanese, after which Dr. Copeland wishes to make a special recognition. Who shall not fear thee, O Lord, and glorify thy name? For thou only art holy.
For all nations shall come and worship before thee, for thy judgments are made manifest.
And it shall come to pass in the last days that in the mountain of the Lord's house shall be established in the top of the mountains and shall be exalted above the hills. Come ye, and let us go up to the mountain of the Lord, to the house of the God of Jacob, and he will teach us of his ways, and we will walk in his paths.
For out of Zion shall go forth the law, and the word of the Lord from Jerusalem.
And he shall judge among the nations, and shall rebuke many people. And they shall beat their swords into plowshares and their spears into pruning hooks.
Nation shall not lift up sword against nation, neither shall they learn war anymore.
O praise the Lord, all ye nations. Praise him, all ye people.
For his merciful kindness is great.
Let us pray.
全能にして、すべてに満ち満ちたもう、主なる御神よ。今朝、我らここに集い、新たな希望と、また恵みに満たされて、あなたの御言葉を聞き、またあなたに感謝を捧げる機会を得ておりますことを、主よ、心から感謝をいたします。天地に見ているすべてのものは、あなたの作りたまいしものであり、また、あなたは我らの命の支え手であり、また、すべての恵みの源でありたまうことを、今朝も覚えて、主よ、心から感謝をいたします。主よ、あなたは愛なるお方であり、御子イエス・キリストを我らに賜うことにおいて、十字架のあがないにおいて我らの罪許され、救いに預かり、新たな命を与えられておりますことを心から感謝をいたします。また、あなたはすべてのものを与え、恵みによって我らの日々の生活を満たし、また我らの必要をすべて補ってくださいまして、また私たちの霊の生活を御霊において力づけ、支え、また新たな教えをもって我らの生活を清め、導いてくださいますことを心から感謝をいたします。我らここに集いし者を一人一人あなたの御胸において召し出され、そして働き人とされておりますことを主よ、心から感謝をいたします。本当にこの恵みにふさわしくないものでありますが、どうか主よ、我らの魂を一人一人の魂を満たし、霊性を高め、そして主よ、あなたの委託に応えることのできるものとして、主よ、我らを訓練し、戒め、そして教え導きたまわんことを切にお願いをいたします。多くの刈り取るべき実がありますけれども、 どうか私たちの働きが足らないためにコロナの身を主よあなたの御手にお返しすることができないようなことがありませんように、それらのために備えの場として与えられ、また学びの場として与えられておりますこの新学校を祝したまえ、これに召され働いていらっしゃるところの教職員の先生方を祝し、またこれに集っておるところの学生一人一人を神様を覚えて、どうぞあなたの恵みと祝福の中に満たしたまえ、どうぞ新学生の家族一人一人を顧みてください。全世界にまだ多くのあなたを知らない、あなたの救いを必要としているところの魂が限りなくございますが、どうかこれらの必要のためにあなたが働き人を送り出してくださいまするようにお願いをいたします。特に海外にあって労使、またあなたのために働いていらっしゃるところのミッショナリーズの方々を覚え、彼らの上に恵みと導きと御助けと慰めとがございまするようにお願いをいたします。世界に平和が来て、本当にあなたによるところの魂の平安と日々の喜びが乱されまするように、神様、私たちの一人一人その一日一日の生活を満たしてください。特に聖霊によって私たちの魂を清め強め、そして正し導いてくださいまするようにお願いをいたします。今日も日ごとの糧とともに御言葉によるところの満たしを切に恋求め立てまつります。神様、このミッショナリデーを感謝いたします。どうかこの礼拝において、特にスピーカーが祝され、あなたのメッセージをその御心の極みまで導かれて、私たちにその御言葉が与えられることができますようにお願いをいたします。たらざる感謝願いの数々を尊き主イエスキリストの主イエスキリストの御名を通して御前にお願い立てまつります。アーメン。
It seems entirely appropriate that on this missionary day we should give some special notice to a mission project in which we at Southeastern Seminary are involved. And since our speaker today has special responsibility for home missions, it is all the more appropriate that we should make this recognition, because this project is also a home missionary project. You know that our fellow student and fellow minister, Mr. Takashi Yoshizu, is dividing his time between his studies here and missionary work on military installations in this state, where he works with the Japanese wives of American servicemen, doing a very notable missionary work among them. You recall that some time ago, it was suggested that our seminary family join with others in making contributions to provide an automobile for Mr. and Mrs. Yoshizu to use in their work. And you may know that we were asked to contribute, if we could, up to $250. And we did, in fact, contribute from this seminary $270 for the purchase of this car. Now, the automobile has been procured, and it has been in a formal ceremony turned over to Mr. Yoshizu. The automobile is now in operation, and it is parked immediately in front of this building. And after chapel, you will want to go by and inspect this new Volkswagen, which is a missionary automobile, and into whose purchase you have contributed.
We might just call this Missionary Day World Missions Day, very appropriately. We are pleased to have in our audience some friends from the larger Wake Forest community and some friends from other communities away from Wake Forest, one as far away as Gastonia. Our guest speaker for this missionary day is Dr. Arthur Rutledge, a native of San Antonio, Texas. He earned the Bachelor of Arts degree at Baylor University, the Master of Theology degree at Southern Baptist Theological Seminary, and the Doctor of Theology degree at Southwestern Baptist Theological Seminary. He was later awarded the Doctor of Divinity degree by East Texas Baptist College. He served as pastor in the states of Kentucky, Indiana, and Texas. He is thoroughly familiar with the work of the denomination, having served as a member of the Foreign Mission Board, the Radio and Television Commission of the Southern Baptist Convention, the Christian Life Commission of the Texas Baptist Convention, the Executive Board of the Texas Baptist Convention, and on the Board of Trustees of East Texas Baptist College. He is familiar with seminary life as a teacher as well as a student in two seminaries. He taught for a semester in the field of missions at Southern Baptist Seminary recently. He is the author of one book, Homes That Last, published in 1954. He is now the Executive Secretary Treasurer of the Home Mission Board of the Southern Baptist Convention. He is our missionary statesman in home missions. He is our leader servant in the denomination, and he is a friend of young ministers and seminarians throughout the convention. Dr. Rutledge.
Dr. Hendricks and fellow workers in the extension of the kingdom of our Lord, I welcome opportunities such as you are affording to me here today, for as I have opportunity to talk with a seminary family such as this, I feel that I'm talking with people who on the one hand are searching for opportunities to make the largest possible investment of their lives, and people who, for many years, we trust in the providence of God, will be able to continue this work which God has committed to each of us as sharing the gospel with people nearby and people far away. I would express appreciation to the faculty and to this seminary family for the assistance that members of the faculty and the administration give to the Home Mission Board and the work of Home Missions from time to time. We often call upon members of the faculty to assist in conferences or in special studies or in special projects. Frequently, I have opportunity of fellowship with your president, Dr. Binkley, as we meet in Nashville or at some other place where representatives of the agencies of our convention gather. And I'm very grateful for what this seminary, as indeed all of our seminaries, mean to missions in the challenge that you provide and the information that you afford in helping people to find the will of God for their lives. For it is to Southeastern and to the other seminaries that the mission boards look primarily for those who are offering themselves to go out as missionaries. We sense, therefore, in our mission responsibility committed to a board, we sense a spirit of comradeship, and we rejoice in the privilege of being on a team dedicated to the one all-consuming purpose of trying to share the transforming gospel of Jesus Christ our Lord with people at home and abroad. I'm grateful for the added opportunities that have been offered to me to serve in connection with this brief visit, be with one of the classes after lunch and Last night, the invitation was extended to meet with the mission interest group, and I apologize publicly for my inability to be here. Everything was planned for me to be here on time, except we did not plan for one of the four propellers on the Lockheed Electra to go out. And so we sat on the ground in Atlanta for an hour and 20 minutes for that repair to be made. And by the time I landed at the Raleigh-Durham airport, and Dr. Blackmore picked me up and brought me here to the campus, it was 7 o'clock and the meeting had ended. I apologize and regret that I could not be with you, for the schedule allowed ample time to make that appointment and have that fellowship. Now this morning, as we think about home missions, I should like for us to center our remarks around one verse which, to me, is the most significant of all the single statements in the New Testament, particularly as we think of home missions, think of missions in the home missionary context. Acts chapter 1 and verse 8. And as you think with me on this, or as you look it up in your Bible, let me mention, as I have with me here, the March issue of Home Missions Magazine, which is in the mail now or has been delivered within the past few days, that it is the purpose of the Home Mission Board to provide this monthly magazine without charge to all pastors. If any of you are pastors and do not receive Home Missions Magazine, if you'll simply notify the office of Dr. Hendricks, he'll gather together the names that you do supply, and we shall be pleased to send you this monthly magazine. And now, as we turn to the Word of God, you remember these very familiar and exceedingly meaningful words of our Lord. These are the last words he spoke before his ascension. Therefore, they must be words that we're bound to take with great value and importance and sacredness. Ye shall receive power, says our Lord, after the Holy Spirit is come upon you, and ye shall be witnesses unto me, both in Jerusalem, and in all Judea, and in Samaria, and unto the uttermost part of the earth. The place to begin in witnessing for Christ is where we are. Therefore, Jesus spoke of Jerusalem. Our witness beginning where we are is not to stop there, however, for not only Jerusalem, that is Wake Forest, but all of Judea, all of North Carolina, is to be a matter of concern to us. But we're not to stop at the state line or the provincial line, Samaria, Virginia, Tennessee, South Carolina. These ought to be a concern. But not only neighboring states, but the very uttermost part of the earth. This is our command. This is our commission, to be witnesses unto Christ our Lord, to be witnesses around the world. As we focus our attention upon our worldwide obligation and challenge to witness, we focus today upon the homeland. For the homeland and the spiritual vitality of our nation is basic to a worldwide missionary undertaking. I was talking a while back with a seminary missions professor and asked him, what portion of the foreign missionaries who go from any country to another come from the various denominations of the United States? He had a book at hand. He opened it, and there on the statistical table said, about two-thirds of all the foreign missionaries come from this country. The next question was, what about the finances? What portion of the money comes from this country? He turned to that page and he said the proportion is about the same. Two-thirds of the men, two-thirds of the money invested in sharing the gospel with nations which know but little of Christ our Lord must come from this land. Therefore, it is imperative that in our land there shall be such a compassion and such a sense of missionary obligation that the churches will continue to provide, under the leadership of the Holy Spirit, men and women who answer the call of God to give themselves in vocational missionary service. That concern must be deep enough that we will continue to give of money, and budget committees and churches in conference will continue to give of money in sufficient amounts to enlarge our witness around the world. But beyond that, there must be such a depth of commitment, which in many areas we must admit is sadly lacking. There must be such a depth of commitment as not to embarrass our missionaries who go out from our land to another land, but such a quality of Christianity, a quality of dedication to our Lord, that our missionaries will not have to apologize, will not have to face questions such as, what about the divorce rate? What about alcoholism? What about racial strife? What about industrial and management relations? What about crime in your country? Therefore, if our worldwide witness is to be what it ought to be and is to increase in power as days like these demand, we must care about the soul of America. We must care about the quality of Christianity exemplified in our churches. We must care about the state of our faith here in these United States of America. Therefore, for the sake of a worldwide witness, I appeal to you to have a care for your own heart, to have a care for your own family, to have a care for your campus, to have a care for your church, to have a care for your community, to have a care for your state, to have a burden for your nation. May God help us to move increasingly nearer to that ideal of being a nation as is described in the Old Testament, whose God is the Lord. It is not enough to have on our coins the inscription, "In God we trust." It is not enough in a pledge to speak of one nation under God. We need to move nearer and nearer to that point where Christ indeed is Lord of this nation, which he is pleased to use now as the great nation to share the gospel with the world. Now, in 1845, when our forefathers constituted the Southern Baptist Convention, something over 200 people meeting in Augusta, Georgia, in that initial meeting, they made plans for two mission boards. They saw that it is not enough for a church to minister faithfully in its own community. They recognized the worldwide obligation of every Christian. From that day until this, our denomination has had these two mission boards. The Foreign Mission Board, the Home Mission Board in earlier days called the Board of Domestic Missions. And now today, in these times of radical change, in these times of tremendous challenge, what is the Home Mission Board doing in its service to the churches as an extension of the life of the churches? What is the Home Mission Board doing in trying to be used of God in facing up to these spiritual and social and moral needs of these tremendous times? I should like to talk with you about that question. One thing the Home Mission Board is trying to do is to identify areas of special need and develop approaches to these needs. That means that in a time like this, one Gulf Oil Company, for example, does not plant a service station on a given corner or at a given intersection without a survey that indicates there is reasonable expectation that this business can prosper. By the same token, the expenditure of mission money, the establishing of new churches, the expenditure of missionaries' energies, ought to have behind it just as intelligent planning, just as careful research. Our Department of Survey and Special Studies has been, within recent months, engaged with three of the state conventions, Kentucky, Indiana, and Mississippi, in a study of what is happening within these respective states. What's happening in population growth, population shift,
What about the economics? What about the racial distribution? Where are the areas where the state convention ought to concentrate if it is to bear an effective witness in this state? Answers are sought and found, and strategy is developed in the light of this kind of information. Then those of you who saw the January issue of Home Missions magazine, and if you did not and are interested in its main theme, I recommend it to you. Those of you who saw the January issue noted that the entire issue, almost the entire issue, was given to a report of a current study on what's happening to our churches in transitional areas in metropolitan communities, where there is racial change, economic change, various other changes. What are these churches doing to meet these changes? Some are running away. Others are reconstructing their approach, and some are finding a richer ministry than they ever had in other days. But here are 1,000 Southern Baptist churches facing such drastic changes in their own community, they have to rethink their very existence and reconsider their mission and maybe reconstruct their approaches to people in the name of our Lord. We're studying these churches and these communities. Closely related but somewhat different is a study of the downtown church, jointly engaged in presently by the Metropolitan Missions Department of the Home Board and the administration, Church Administration Department of the Sunday School Board. Yet another study now in progress with a seminary professor in his sabbatical year doing this for us is a study of the church's responsibility to ex-prisoners. So many times we fear, instead of approaching these people in a spirit of love and with a redemptive purpose, we, in our pride and our self-righteousness, shut out of our churches and out of our area of concern these who need a friend, these who need Christian love. So studies like these are underway just now. Pilot projects are engaged in. We're now getting started in 2 or 3 pilot projects in high-rise apartments. We're going to experiment with the sending of a qualified couple into an apartment house where you cannot enter unless you have a key to unlock the elevator and some kind of a key to unlock the door of the hearts of these people. We'll see what we learn and how we can more effectively minister. We're disappointed that we've not yet been able to encourage enough industries to employ chaplains to serve management and labor. Therefore, on a pilot project basis, we're prepared now to say to industries, we'll help you pay the salary of that chaplain for a year to let you see whether it will be productive. We trust that we can enter this area and cross this barrier and minister to people that we may not reach through the ordinary programs of our churches. In addition, we're beginning this year some resort mission experimentation. Many people now are not at home on the weekends, many of the weekends of the year. We're not going to get them in our churches. They're at the lake. They're at the ski slope. They're in the mountains. They're down on the beach. With the Arizona Convention, we're providing 2 portable trailer chapels. They're going to work up and down the Colorado River and minister to these people who are vacationing, weekend people in communities that may have a permanent population of 1,000 and a weekend population of 30,000. One of these projects is in Estes Park, Colorado, at the Great Rocky Mountain National Park, where a church is established and an effort will be made to minister to all that we can of the thousands who come to that picturesque site. Trying, as Don Benedict of Chicago said, to penetrate every one of the worlds in which men live. Men live in their world of residence. Men live in their world of labor. Men live in their world of public life. Men live in a world of leisure. And our effort is to find people where they are and establish a contact. Of course, if the gospel is to be communicated, somebody has to talk about the Lord, and somebody has to lead people to Jesus. Jesus Christ and point them away from emptiness and meaninglessness and godlessness and secularism to Jesus Christ our Lord. But our problem is with man so mobile and so insulated against the gospel, how can we get the ear of so many of our modern Americans? These are some of the ways we're trying to find people where they are, gain their ear, share with them the gospel of Jesus our Lord. And a very successful experiment, far enough along now to evaluate, is a ministry to Indians out in New Mexico. Here, these people don't live in cities. They live in little communities, but pretty widely scattered. We tried, starting about a year ago, employing a man who could fly a private plane, and ask him, instead of serving two communities that he could reach by automobile, to serve a half dozen by airplane. Not preached all of these himself, except on the rare occasions he could get around, but in every one of these communities, find a layman who could teach the Word of God, not as well as the missionary, but teach it, and who was respected by the people, and who could be their spiritual leader. And James Nelson goes around and teaches the Sunday school lesson to these fellows in advance. And he gives them some sermon notes so they can preach, and he tells them what they can do to minister to their people. And God is using one missionary and one airplane to do what it would take at least three missionary couples to do if they were landbound. So in this time of change, the effort is to cross barriers. Whatever those barriers are, racial, or spatial, or economic, or moral, or spiritual, or geographical, whatever they are, the basic effort in home missions is to find ways to cross barriers and get to the heart and conscience and will of men that we might not otherwise reach by the normal activities of our churches. So basic to this approach is the effort to identify special needs and develop ways to get to the heart of people in the name of Christ our Lord. And then a second thing I would mention in answering the question, what is a home mission board doing in these dynamic times? In addition to seeking to locate needs and structural ways of reaching people and meeting these needs, we're trying to assist churches, associations, and state conventions to meet the needs of the people in their midst. The home board joins with the North Carolina Convention in the employment of this fine man in meeting a special need on the coast of this great state. Nearly all of the missionaries of the Home Mission Board are jointly employed by one of the state conventions and the Home Mission Board. In addition, many of them are employed also by an association or by a church or by two or more churches. But in this effort to assist churches, associations, and state conventions, two ways are used extensively. One method is the printed page. Another is conferences. I was at Warner Robins, Georgia, just a few weeks ago to bring the message in the afternoon at the constitution of a new Baptist church. The service was so well planned for. It ran so smoothly. When the service ended, I commented to the pastor, "Fella, you had everything in perfect order. I want to compliment you on this." He said, "Well, really, I ought to thank you. At least I ought to thank the home board." He said, "You remember that booklet, A Guide to Establishing Missions and Churches?" He said, "I took that guide and I followed it to the letter, and when we got here this afternoon, we were ready." The home board didn't put a dollar, has not at any time invested any money in that church, but we served that church in Georgia through the printed page. I was at Fort Walton Beach, Florida, down on the west coast of Florida, and was delighted in January of this year to learn of a ministry that church is undertaking in serving foreign wives of servicemen there at Eglin Air Force Base. No missionary is employed. They haven't called on a mission board, Florida, or the home board for any money, but they have taken the written materials on how to conduct literacy mission work, and the ladies of the church
are conducting classes week by week, which not only will teach these women the English language, but will open the door of friendship and love and allow them to witness in the name of Christ our Lord. I'm saying the whole board senses an obligation, not alone to the mission church in Maine or in Washington or in Montana, but the whole board senses a responsibility to help every one of our churches in finding ways of meeting the needs at its very door. This would be done without the passing of any money or the employment of a missionary at all. So in Georgia and in Florida, and in North Carolina and Tennessee, and in Texas and Oklahoma, the home board is a catalyst to help stir up an awareness of need and to put in the hands of the churches some methods by which they themselves, without a missionary or without a mission dollar, can minister to people in crossing the barriers at their very door. Conferences. Every summer at Glorietta on Ridgecrest, a variety of conferences is offered. We at Glorietta on Ridgecrest have our inspirational periods, but largely home missions weeks are workshop weeks, studying needs and discussing ways to meet needs and learning from one another. Then next month, down at the Mississippi Assembly on the Gulf Coast, we'll conduct a nationwide conference on rural church work. Though we're largely an urbanized people, there still are some 60 million people in our country who live in the small towns and the open country. And so about 1,000 pastors and state mission workers and seminary people and mission board people will come together for 3 days to take a good, hard look at the rural church and its mission and its ministry in days like these. Then in the month of April, from all over the nation, we'll be gathered together, men and women who are working in the inner city, in transitional, in slum areas, discussing ways by which we can better minister in these areas that are so burdened by poverty, by vice, by limitations of almost every kind you can imagine. The home board serves as a catalytic agent then to bring people together, to stimulate one another, to come to conclusions which then will be shared with the churches with a hope that still others will catch a burden for and will undertake to meet the needs of people in these areas of our convention life. These are some of the ways by which the board is trying to help churches which need no mission money, but which need no missionary. Now, I have spent some time on, at this point this morning, because I think too many of our Southern Baptist people have pretty much equated foreign missions and home missions as far as procedures are concerned. The Home Mission Board does have a sending quality and a sending responsibility. We appoint missionaries, we send out missionaries as the foreign board does, and we sense home board and foreign board people a sense of unity as we face up to different phases of our worldwide missionary obligation. But here in a land like this, with many Christian churches and with a strong denomination, our task as we see it is not only to send missionaries out to areas of neglect, but is also a responsibility to stimulate the churches to discover needs and to meet every one of those needs they can without financial help or without personnel help. And I would bear down on this. I hope you can see what I'm trying to say. And I'm saying, therefore, every church is involved in the whole mission enterprise, because in days like these, with millions of lost people in our own country and the number increasing every year, and problems of social and moral and spiritual needs abounding, everything you do through a little country church or a great metropolitan congregation, everything you do in the name of our Lord is another step toward claiming this land for Christ. That leads me to say what the Home Mission Board does in sending missionaries then is not our primary activity,
It is really our last activity. We send missionaries where the churches are unable to meet the needs without the employment of a professional missionary. And there are places where there are no churches, and if we're to have a witness, we must send a missionary and support him. There are other areas where there are churches, but they are too weak or they are too few. And if a given job is to be done, a missionary must be sent out. Then there are other areas where a person with unique training and with a special calling and with particular aptitudes is needed. He may be able, it may be required that he use a certain language. He may need training in the use of social techniques. Whatever the need is, whether it is in Mississippi or whether it is in New Mexico or whether it is in North Carolina, where one with special training and special equipment and a special sense of mission is needed, there are the missionary goals. As a result, there are home missionaries in every one of the 50 states, in North Carolina and South Carolina, and in Missouri and Illinois, and in Kentucky and Tennessee, and in Colorado and Wyoming. In all of the states, all 50, and then by assignment of the convention, the home board serves also in Panama, and in Cuba, and in Puerto Rico. But the thing I would say here is, the missionary is the instrument of God to meet a need, to cross a barrier, to reach hearts that for one reason or another, the churches are not able to meet without embodying that witness in these missionaries. And so today, you're helping support with your prayers and with your contributions. You're helping support missionaries exceeding 2,000 in number all across this nation and in the neighbor nations that I mentioned to the south. The need for missionaries continues as fields enlarge and new doors open wider. But in addition to these 2,000, there are some 600 student summer missionaries giving 10 weeks in missions. Some of you have served in that category. In addition to these are some 700 chaplains in the military and in industry, in hospitals, in penal institutions. So here are your representatives all across the nation, going across barriers, entering doors, seeking to meet needs that cannot be met adequately by the churches without the missionary. But we start by saying, let every church be a missionary church. Let every church lift up its eyes and look on the needs at its very door. The need to start a mission to reach these people across the tracks, or these affluent people in the apartment house, or these people in the beautiful emerging suburban community, the people of another culture, the people of another race, the people who have needs that are crying and urgent. Let the church be a missionary center to its own community. Cross these barriers. What if the people are different? They need Jesus Christ. And then if a missionary is needed and help beyond what you can offer is required, then you'll turn to your state mission board. You'll turn to your home mission board. You'll turn to your association. And if possible, the help will be given. But I'm calling as I come now to ask, what is the role of seminarians in this kind of a home mission undertaking that begins by trying to discover needs and develop approaches and moves on to try to assist the churches and associations and conventions to meet these needs and then moves on to send out missionaries where they are needed? What is the role of seminarians? Many of you are pastors. Others of you are ministers of music or education. All of us are members of a church, believers in Jesus Christ. I challenge you to use your influence to help yours to be a missionary church. I don't know any way to develop a church's local ministry any more strongly than to lay on the heart of that church a compassion for the people of the world. People in other lands, people in our own land. For as a compassion for the multitudes without Christ,
grows in the heart, a compassion for the people at the door will grow. Depth of commitment will increase, and the church will be a stronger church. Lead your church to give to missions liberally. Lead your church to pray for missions earnestly. Teach your church about missions. Preach from the pulpit about missions. Home missions, foreign missions, state missions, local missions. Help your church to sense its mission under Jesus Christ our Lord. Dr. Carver still speaks to us in his book, Missions and the Plan of the Ages, when he says, one frequently meets the question, what is the place of missions in the church? And he goes on to answer, the right question is, what is the place of my church in missions? Help your church to understand its mission, its reason for existence. Help to involve it in the worldwide and nationwide task of sharing the redeeming gospel of Jesus with men everywhere. What is the place of seminarians? Not only to minister in your church and lead it to be missionary, but your place is to ask, as I ask many times, sitting out where you're sitting on missionary day in seminary, what is God's will for my life? And if I know my heart, I was ready as I sat, as I take it you are, to say, Lord, wherever you lead, I'll go. God will want many of you to be pastors here in this country or serve in music or education or other fields here in this country. But I wonder if God does not want many of you to offer yourself as a missionary, to serve wherever God wants you to serve. It may be overseas. It may be in the homeland. Maybe some of us need to scrap our dreams of a comfortable pastorate in a beautiful suburban community with a fresh, attractive building and really find his life down in the slums and in the dark streets of somebody's city. Or maybe out on the Indian reservation flying an airplane. Or maybe serving in Pittsburgh, Pennsylvania, or New York City, or Chicago, Illinois, among people of another culture background, or another racial background. The main question is, what does God want me to do? Forget about status. Forget about finances. Forget about comfort. And think about, what can this one life do? What can this one life mean under God? A few years ago, there sat one in your chapel, conscious of the call of God to mission service, graduating in 1959 or maybe 1960, he went out to Cuba. And today, David Feit, missionary of Jesus Christ in Cuba, is in prison. He's been there almost a year now. The State Department, our board, have done everything we can do to effect the release of all these jailed persons. When David said, Lord, whatever you'll have me to do, I'll do, he wasn't counting on prison. But so far as I know, he has not complained. He's in the will of God. And that is your challenge. And that is mine. To ask, Lord, in a big world like this, with needs so great, I want my one life to count for all that it can. Where would you have me to? If it's to go as a missionary, wherever you lead, I'll go. What would you have me to be? May God help us all as prayerfully we seek to find our places. For today, we need 250 pastors in these pioneer states now served by Southern Baptists. Today, we need 100 people serving among these 40 or more language groups that the Home Board serves. Today, we need 50 people to serve down in the transitional areas of some of our cities. What is God saying to you? Let us bow for a moment's prayer. Dear Lord, give us willing hearts. Give us surrendered wills. Give us a sense of compassion. And oh God, help us to find and to follow thy leadership for our lives. Use us, O God, in tremendous days like these to help plant flags of faith for Jesus Christ our Lord, as thou dost lead. Speak to these young people. Speak to the heart of each of us. Help us to take hands off and allow thee to take full control of our lives to the furtherance of the gospel and the glory of thy name. In Jesus' name.